I don't know if you saw this report that came out. This was earlier today. And again, I thought of this. I mentioned my three-month-old son. Dan, how old is Emily right now?
6 weeks.
6 weeks?
Yeah, seven on Sunday, I believe.
Before you know it, our kids will be playing with crayons.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw this story, but this is, you know, it's like, what is sacred? Can't we have anything nice these days? Apparently, there was this study that came out that found asbestos in kids' crayons. I'll say that again. Asbestos in kids' crayons and in kids' crime scene kits. There's a thing called a kid's crime scene kit. Let's just think about that for a second. So there's a junior crime scene kit, okay? I don't know what exactly that entails. Anyway, the tests were run for asbestos on 28 boxes of crayons. Out of the 28 boxes of crayons, four of those 28 boxes found asbestos. Several marketed under the names of popular fantasy characters like Mickey Mouse crayons, Power Rangers, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They all have crayons, apparently. So I don't see any Crayola, because when I was growing up, Crayola was it. That was the jam. And Crayola's not on this list. But Mickey Mouse crayons, Power Rangers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles apparently have amounts of asbestos in them. That's not good. And two of the 21 crime scene fingerprint kits were tainted with asbestos. So, if you're thinking of a Christmas gift, maybe a birthday gift for your kid, be careful if you want to get them the crime scene fingerprint kit, the junior version, because it might have asbestos. And I got to think, you know, growing up when we grew up, Dan, we grew up in the 80s.
Yes.
And I played with crayons. Did you play with crayons?
I did.
Did you eat the glue?
I'm sure I did.
Yeah, well, everyone ate the glue. That's why Elmer's came out with the non-toxic stuff, right? Now, here's the thing. I remember every year in grade school, it was the same thing. You would get the supply list.
Right.
You know, that would get sent home. And there was always, you know, you got your stapler. Every year, why do I need to get a new stapler? Stapler, the Elmer's glue, the glitter. There was so much glitter in my house growing up. And because you go to art class in grade school and you only use a fraction of it.
Right.
And then every year they say, nope, you need a brand new bottle of glitter. Okay. You also had the pencils, the pens, the pencil pouch.
Yes.
Loved me the pencil pouch. Remember those?
I do.
And I would have that thing stuffed because I was a cool kid. I was really into mechanical pencils and pens growing up.
Interesting.
I still have this weird affinity for them. But I would collect mechanical pencils and cool pens. So I was that kid in grade school who was really stingy. If you would come to me and say, hey, Mike, can I borrow a pencil? No. No, you can't. But here's why. Is because I would never get it back.
Sure.
Or
no.
A pet peeve of mine, if I lent, let's say, a pen out to somebody, I would keep my eye on that pen. And I would watch as whoever would chew it.
Oh,
you know, put it in their mouth and chew it, and then they'd give that one back.
Right.
Yeah, here you go. No thanks. You can keep that. So I would always have a section of the pencil pouch. I would try to like rubber band them together of the pens that were kind of cheaper, you know, and the pencils that I didn't really care about. Those were my my loners. Exactly. Here you could keep that one. You could keep it. And that scarred me, and I still have it. Like if I look at this pen, I'm holding right now. This is a Pentel RSVP. It's a medium ballpoint pen. I like the medium. Good action on this pen. The fine is just not enough. I don't know if what's above a medium. Do they have a large? I guess that's a marker. But I always like to have a pretty good pen on me. And if you needed a pen, hold on. Let me get my bag. Hold on.
This is a...
If you needed a pen, I'm pulling this out of my bag. I have the Hampton Inn, what you get at the Hampton Inn, like in the
nice.
Room.
Yes.
It's a cheaper, like, Bic ballpoint.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's my, if you need to borrow a pen.
That's your loaner.
That's my loaner.
That's your loaner.
I'm 35. I still do this. So, hold on. I got to put it back. I'm also very particular about putting it back. And I have a couple other loaners in my bag just in case. Now, Dan, maybe not you because I trust you.
I appreciate that.
You're a good guy. Yeah. We've worked together a lot. But let's say, like, I don't know, like Bill Leff walks in here.
Shifty Bill Leff.
He's getting the Hampton in. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You can't trust that guy.
No.
You can't trust him.
Now.
Yeah.
So did you also enjoy the erasable ink pen? Or was that a frustration for you?
No, I enjoyed it because I'm not left-handed.
Yes.
See, if you're left-handed and you write with the erasable pen, that ink used to smear something terrible.
Right.
Something terrible. But I love the erasable pen. It was fantastic. In fact, I made a lot of mistakes, so I'd have to get the topper eraser because the eraser would just wear down. It would go down so quickly.
Now, when you were learning penmanship, something our children will never learn, did you have to have the triangular rubber device over the pencil? Did you have to use that?
That was like first, second grade, I hated that thing.
Yeah,
I hated it.
It hurt your fingers.
Yeah. Well, then you hold a pencil or a pen like a human being does, and you're like, wait, what? Where's the giant piece of triangle rubber? Isn't that how I'm supposed to write? I think that does more harm than good. Hold on. Teachers, are you listening? First grade teachers, second grade teachers, please do away with the triangle purple rubber thing that you put on the writing utensil. It's hurting the future of America.
If you were forced to write now, could you write something in cursive?
Yeah, I actually, I shouldn't say I write cursive. I write cursive occasionally. I usually write in all caps. I don't know where that came from, but it's easier for me to write in all caps and obviously print. But cursive, I can still rock. I can still rock some cursive. I will never forget first grade, Sister Susan teaching me cursive. It's gotten slightly better over the years, but I have a few friends that their penmanship is absolutely bonkers terrible. I mean, out of control. It looks like hieroglyphics. And they made it through school. There's got to come a point, I think, in the education system where the teacher just has to let go. You know, like, okay, you're in high school. You can't write cursive. All right, well, I guess, we can't teach you now. Your loss, I guess, or maybe not, because why don't you just text me? You know, so it's a good point, Dan. Penmanship. Anyway, I will be rocking the Pentel RSVP Medium ballpoint this morning, in case you were wondering. Mike Steven filling in for Nick DiGilio on this Friday morning. Happy to be here with you. Happy Friday. The Steve Cochran Show is coming up at 5, and Brian Noonan will be filling in for Steve this morning. So keep it right here, locked into 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone and the text number here. We're up in the seventh floor here at the Mighty Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue. I saw this, you know, we talked about this, I think it was yesterday when we talked about hot dogs. Was it yesterday, Dan, that we talked about that, or was that 2 days ago? Because July is National Hot Dog Month, which is fantastic.
2 days ago.
2 days ago. We talked with someone from the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council. The National Hot Dog and Sausage Council. That's an actual thing. Fantastic. Like I said, July is Hot Dog Month, and Steve Dolinsky, the Hungry Hound, he posted on his Facebook page, this was about 12 hours ago. Apparently, he is in Madrid, and he came across a place, a hot dog joint. Outside, there was a sign. There is a sign. He posted a picture of it on his Facebook account. It says Chicago Hot Dogs, the original, and there's a picture of a hot dog. And then there's a picture of Steve eating this hot dog. And then he gives a close-up of what's on this alleged Chicago hot dog in Madrid. He writes, "This is a crime against hot dogs. It's been committed in Madrid. Apparently a Chicago dog here has a quote-unquote Chicago sauce, which reminds me of the special sauce at Sambo's in St. Cloud, plus institutional mustard, awful pickle slices, and fried onions. Blasphemy." Now, the picture of this hot dog it looks like someone took nacho cheese from the movie theater and just slathered it on there. Some sort of weird, I don't know, that's not a sport pepper. It's more of like what you get in a salad, those kind of peppers. There's a pickle. It looks like there's some like breading, like stuffing or something that's crumbled on top. I guess those are the onions. But it looks like cereal on this Chicago-style hot dog. So that's what they're serving up over in Madrid. That's what's passing for a Chicago-style hot dog. Accept no imitations. We can't have that here in Chicago.
Those are the same people who think like, oh, you're from Chicago, Oprah, Capone, Jordan.
Jordan, yeah. And now Obama, right? It's funny that you say that. We were in Italy. Jenny and I, my wife, we were in Italy 3 years ago, and we had dinner with this couple who was from Germany, but they live in England. And I said, yeah, you know, we're from Chicago. And they said, oh, yeah, Chicago. Exactly what you said. Al Capone, right? Michael Jordan. Pizza. Yeah. Yeah. You nailed it, man. That's it.
How did you know them?
We just met them at this. We were staying at this small place in Tuscany. And we were like some of the only people that were there. And so because there were only like four of us there, they had a chef. And this couple was actually planning on having their wedding there in a few months from when we were there. So the chef was putting together this testing menu. And he said, well, you know what? I'm going to make a bunch of food. Why don't you guys just come on over? And so we checked with the couple. We said, is it cool if we crash your wedding tasting? And they said, sure, yeah, why not? So we got to talking after a bunch of wine. And they were from small towns in Germany. You know, I had no idea about anything from where they were from. And then I said, oh, yeah, we're from Chicago, thinking everyone's going to know Chicago, right? And totally it was just the, oh, yeah, Al Capone, deep dish pizza. Hey, wasn't Michael Jordan from Chicago? Yep. Totally nailed it. So, and I bet what they know as deep dish pizza is not what we know as deep dish pizza. And in Italy, I couldn't find any deep dish pizza, which was interesting.
Even Italy's pizza isn't our pizza.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. You're right. So there's a picture of this hot dog on Steve Dolinsky's Facebook page. I don't think that this hot dog place in Spain will bear the Hungry Hound plaque. You know, when you go into a place in Chicago and there's the framed picture of Steve Dolinsky saying, dear owner, this place is awesome. Love Steve Dolinsky, the Hungry Hound. I don't think the Hungry Hound's picture will be hanging in the Chicago hot dogs restaurant in Madrid.
ABC has the I team, right? I think theirs is the I team. So it's an I team investigation.
Yep. We got Gowdy on a plane. Chucky Gowdy's over right now. He's on a plane about to land. He's going to go to the front door of the owner. Excuse me, sir. Chuck Gowdy, I team. We have to talk about your Chicago style hot dog. That's an investigative report I would watch. There's a story up at WGNRadio.com about this Chicago family who raise goats. They raise goats. This, again, is at WGNRadio.com, which is not illegal. And I thought about this. You know, I did something similar, a story on Outside the Loop, which is the show I host every Saturday morning here on WGN, so tomorrow morning at 6. I paid a visit to a couple in Portage Park who had a pet pig. They have a pet pig named Linus, and it's completely legal. It would be illegal if you planned on eating the pig. So you can't just have the pet in order to eat it.
Wow.
If it's a pet, it's all good. And it was like a totally, it sounds strange, but it's a totally normal thing. They were a very cool couple. They also have a newborn. And Linus, the pet pig, it's their pet. And he's cool. He's potty trained. He goes outside. I'm trying to think of how to say this. The number one for the pig, like 3 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, it just takes forever. Just keeps going and going because there's a picture. The picture, it's actually on WGNRadio.com. If you go to the Outside the Loop section, the Mike Stevens section, you can see the picture of myself with Linus the pig. He's number one in that picture. He's going. As you can't tell, But he is going, and I could hear it. I could see it. I'm on the other side of him. And we took the picture, and that's the picture that Andy used for the website. Yeah, because he's Andy Herman.
How does, pray tell, a couple obtain a pig to become a pet?
Excellent question, Dan Shigeru. They go to Nashville, or outside of Nashville. I think it was Nashville. It was somewhere in Tennessee. Maybe it was a small town. And they have a farm, and you could pick up a small pig, and they did, because the wife, this gentleman's wife, was from Tennessee, not Nashville, just outside of Nashville. And so they went down there. They got up a pig, and they drove Linus the pig back, potty trained. Totally cool, like very affectionate, will come up to you and kind of snuggle with you. And surprisingly, I know this is going to sound weird too, surprisingly clean. All you need is some like pillows to give Linus a little bit of a bed. And it was like having a pet. They take him out for walks. They put him on a leash. The kids in Portage Park know about Linus. They come up and pet him. He's got very coarse hair too, which I'd never pet a pig before. So it was kind of cool. So I thought this story that's up at WGNradio.com of this family raising goats, it was very similar. And I know that I've heard of in Chicago people raising chickens, pigs, and now goats. So that's interesting. You can check out WGNradio.com. I don't even have a dog, so I'm kind of behind on things. I had a goldfish growing up. Actually, I had five of them. They were all named Moby Dick. It was like the George Foreman thing. I had, they were all carnival fish. I won like when I was growing up in grade school.
Sure.
And so they would always die. And I would get really upset. Like, why is Moby Dick the third? Why did he die so quickly? Like, he died quicker than Moby Dick the first. Moby Dick the fifth, though, I think lasted for 6 months.
Nice.
One of the Moby Dick brothers jumped out of the bowl. Right. So you got to be careful if you have pet goldfish. And when I went to college, speaking of fish, at Loyola here in Chicago, part of the move-in thing with the residence hall, they gave you a pet betta fish.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And of course, you know, think of it, college kids,
yeah,
with late night and beer and betta fish, it's just not, that's not a good thing. I did not know this until I got a betta fish. If you put a mirror up to the fish, it freaks out and wants to fight itself.
Right, because they hate each other.
They
right?
do not like each other. You're not supposed to mix the betta fish. We also discovered that after a couple late nights. So I don't think they're giving out betta fish anymore at Loyola.
Anymore.
The residence life program over there.
We always named our carnival goldfish after Bulls players.
So the Stacey King.
The Stacey King, your BJ Armstrong.
BJ Armstrong.
Judd Bushler.
The Judd Bushler. Oh, nice. Nice. You got to go for the deep cuts, you know?
My friend went to a Smashing Pumpkins concert one time and ended up standing behind Luke Longley.
Nice.
She's like, it was awful. I couldn't see around him. I'm like, why'd you move? She's like, it was Luke Longley. What do you do?
I think you got to feed Tony Kukoc. Looks hungry. Clean his tank. 720 WGN, Mike Steven filling in for Nick DiGilio. Coming up at 5, the Steve Cochran Show with Brian Noonan filling in this morning. Area code 630 texted in. Oh, it's Rob. Rob from Wheaton. He said, as Nick would say, pigs rule, man. Have a great weekend. Yeah, pigs do rule. It is quite the trip to see a pet pig being walked down the street. It's pretty intense. So
my wife's brother had a pig for a little while, and its name was Bacon.
Oh, seriously? Really?
No, I'm sorry. It was breakfast. It wasn't bad.
Oh,
it was breakfast.
Okay. Well, that's pretty bad. Did it go that direction?
It did not go that direction. Yeah. He donated it to a local farm.
That's good. I asked this couple in Portage Park who owns the pig. I said, do you guys still eat pork? Do you guys still eat meat? And they said, all the time. Absolutely. So that did not deter them. Speaking of food, I saw this actually in today's Tribune in the business section. At the end of 2016, there will be a law that will make it official, you have to put the calorie count on things like popcorn in movie theaters, prepared food at grocery and convenience stores, bakeries, coffee shops, pizza delivery stores, and amusement parks. So the calorie count coming to a movie theater popcorn box near you, that's a little frightening. I don't know if I want to see that. I'd rather have a pet pig.